Okay, I mean, you don't have to copy. I wrote down there to explain what is involved. I mean, also hopefully you will know by heart this important theorem. By now, probably you should know. Okay, so especially this fact will play an important role. I mean, today, this morning, Jim talked about a little bit that this set is the unramified at S. This I'm going to emphasize that. Okay, so today I'm going to explain the functoriality of symmetric cube and symmetric fourth. So our L homomorphism is this, so M equals 3 and 4. So we have pi is a cuspidal representation of GL2A. So the conjecture is that this thing, this can be defined formally by a local Langevin correspondence. This is automorphic. So this is a conjecture. Okay, so if you want to apply this Compass theorem to this, so then if you want to apply, so that's what Shahid and I have been trying before. Yes, exactly. No. No. Because we know all the candidates. Okay, anyways, so we know this candidate. You know this pi. So this is a Compass theorem is very tailor-made, basically, for this situation again. So if you want to apply Compass theorem, the Compass theorem to sim m pi, we need the following L functions. We need the L functions. Okay, so let me specify sim cube, to show you how difficult it is at first. So we need the L functions, the following L functions. So we need that kind of L functions. So sigma is cuspidal representation of GL2A. So since it's a GL4 form, so N, capital N is 4, so we have to only twist by character and the cuspidal representations. If it is character, then we know that. This L function shows up. Okay, so M, so M equals, okay, I'm using D. Okay, let's say D equals 1 and 2. Okay, so this is if you want to write down in a better way, I mean, not better way, but this will be rho D tensor with sim cube. So rho D is in this morning cocktail used iota, but this is the standard representation of GL2. So if D equals 1, this L function shows up in a Langevin-Shahid method. This shows up. So the L function show up in Langevin-Shahid method. So with the exceptional group of type G2, if you consider so exceptional group of type G2. So you get symmetric cube. But when d equals 2, you don't have that L function. When d equals 2, the L function do not show up. By themselves. You don't see that L function in the list. Okay? So that's the trouble. That's the trouble. Yes, exactly. So this L function doesn't show up, but this function times. So this L function shows up, but this show up. Okay? So this is a standard L function of GL2. So we can prove that this whole thing is entire and satisfies functional equation. Basically, we can show that that's nice. But now you see where the trouble is. Trouble is that you have to divide by this. And where this has a zero, then we'll have trouble. We don't know. There is no way to prove that this thing is entire. Okay, so that's where the trouble is. Yeah. This is basically the triple product L function of sigma, pi, and sigma. Triple product L function. This one shows up as a shows up in a spin 10. So when we have a distinction diagram, so if you delete this root, so this is GL, roughly GL3. So you put hold on a second. No. So adjoint. Okay, I'm sorry. Adjoint pi. So you put the adjoint representation here. So this is the by Galbraith-Jacquet lift. So you put the GL3 form here, and you put sigma and sigma here. Okay. So then that triple product L function shows up. So we know how to analyze this. But there is no way to get the information about this L function. Okay, so we kind of gave up, you know, several years ago. But then we learned that we can get this indirect way. Indirect way. So that's we have to get indirect way. Obtain the result in an indirect way. So, namely, we first obtained the functorial product. So, we need first the functorial product. So, namely, so let's say we have this tensor product. This is a tensor product. So if pi 1 and pi 2 are cuspidal representations of GL2A and GL3A, then I think I explained to you that according to that L homomorphism, we can produce this admissible, irreducible representation. So this will be irreducible, admissible representation of GL6A. So the conjecture is that that's automorphic. That's automorphic. So we're going to apply converse theorem there. So once you prove that this is automorphic, okay, then the functoriality of symmetric cube follows. Why? So suppose we know that it's automorphic. Then we apply this to pi 1 equals pi, and pi 2 to be the adjoint square, Gelbach-Jankelic. Okay, so then these factors, so we know that this is an automorphic representation of GL6, and these factors by classification of automorphic representation of GLN, these factors into a cusped representation of small GL, and one of them is pi. One of the factors is pi, and the other factor is exactly symmetric cube. The other factor, so I'm going to use this notation. This is in text, is a box plus. This is a box times, if you want to text. So box plus means this is a isobaric sum. Okay, that's what that means. And the other one is this is GL2 form. And the other one is the automorphic representation of GL4. And this turned out to be symmetric cube. Actually, you have to twist by a central character. So we have an automorphic representation of GL4 sitting inside, and we didn't see it before. So this proves that this thing is automorphic. Symmetric cube is automorphic. So omega pi is central character. I mean, we know that this thing always is an isobaric sum of cusped representation of GS. And you have pi, we know that we have pi there, something pi there. And we have something on GF4 form.
And we don't know the left-hand side is
automorphic. Oh, we are assuming that this is automorphic. Okay, so I'm going to prove this. Yeah, I'm going to prove this. Okay, So moral of the story is that we don't apply converse theorem to this one, okay? Because we don't have L functions. So we apply converse theorem to this one. So that's what I'm going to do. And then we get this indirect way. Yeah? That's
So you know that it's automorphic. How do you know that you then do that?
How do you know that this decomposed like this? This is automorphic, and that's the theorem of Jacke and Schleicher. That this is automorphic, then this is isobaric sum of cusped representation. I'm gonna go through the proof, and then you'll see. Okay, so in general, what I'm gonna prove, so converse theorem will tell us that pi 1, pi 2 is automorphic, okay? Automorphic. Actually, quasi automorphic, but anyway. So this, according to classification theory, this is a subquotient. It's a subquotient of these induced representations. And where sigma 1, sigma k cuspidal representations of smaller GL. So that's the theorem of Jaki and Shalaika. If you have any automorphic representation, then this is always a subquotient of this global induced representations. Okay. The R1, RK can be taken as a real numbers. Okay. So what you can prove is that we can prove that R1 and RK are all zero. So we'll show that R1, RK are all zero. So this follows from the weak Ramanujan property. So this follows from weak Ramanujan. Pi 1 and Pi 2. Remember that I mentioned last week, Pi 1 and Pi 2 satisfy weak Ramanujan. Means that outside density 0 set, Satake parameter is bounded by qv to the epsilon. Okay. So then pi 1, pi 2, then that implies that pi 1, pi 2, a Satake parameter of that. So if pi 1 and pi 2 are alpha, beta, and pi 2v, the Satake parameter is ABC, then the Satake parameter of this functorial product is basically you just alpha A, alpha B, alpha C, beta A, beta B, beta C. So this is the Satake parameter. So if the weak Ramanujan property is that alpha beta is less than qv to the epsilon. Okay, it's greater than qv to the negative epsilon. Anyway, so this is the weak Ramanujan property. This is true for outside density zero set. It's epsilon, given epsilon. Okay, so in that case, all these things is really, you can make a small product, okay? Outside density zero set. So that means that R1, RK has to be zero. Because otherwise you cannot make this alpha A smaller than qv to the epsilon. You cannot make it small if it is not zero. Okay? So weak Ramanujan property will tell us that these are has to be all zero. So if it is zero, then that's irreducible. That follows from, you can use the classification of unitary representations. That's irreducible. This is irreducible. So in other words, it's not really subquotient, but actually this is equal. This is actually equal, since it is irreducible.
How did we get the weak Ramanujan
property? Basically, weak Ramanujan comes basically the. If you want to prove, you can look at our paper, or you can look at the Ramakrishna's, Dinaka Ramakrishna's paper. On. GL4, yeah, I proved GL4, but. Basically, it's an absolute convergence of the standard error function, real is greater than 1. Okay, so this is what I usually write. I usually write this as a sigma 1, sigma k. So I'll write this way. Okay? So then there will be no ambiguity. Okay. Okay, so we apply converse theorem to pi 1, pi 2. Okay, so if you look at the statement of a converse theorem, so as Jim talked about this morning, we need L functions. We need this triple product L functions, pi 1, pi 2. We need this triple product. Okay, so pi 1 is a GL2 form. This is GL2, and pi 2 is GL3, and sigma is GL D. So D moves from 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. So eventually you want to show that this is equal to sigma Rankine-Selberg pi 1 pi 2. So that's what we're going to show there.
What?
Oh, yeah, we can go up to 5, yeah. But since we have technology, it's thanks to you. So, thanks to you, we don't have to as much as, we don't have to do all the work. Okay, so this left-hand side is the one we know. We can say something about analytic properties, and right-hand side is the Rankine-Selberg. So you have the converse theorem there. Okay, so this L function shows up in a Langlands-Shahid method. So D equals one is this is just the Rankine-Selberg. This is a character then. This is the Rankine-Selberg theory. And D equals 2. So you have twist by GL2, GL2, and GL3. That's triple product. Actually, I already mentioned there. It comes from, I will use the Shahidi's notation. This is D5 dash 2. So, you have to apply Langlands-Shahid method to this situation. And the Levy, Levy subgroup is kind of complicated. So let me just give you the derived group. Derived group. The derived group is SL2 cross SL2 cross SL3. Okay, so actually writing down the Levy is complicated. But anyway, we have this homomorphism from GL2, GL2, GL3. So you put pi 1 and pi 2, pi 1, sigma, and pi 2, and then you pull back to cuspidal representations of M, and then you apply converse theorem. I mean, the Langlands-Shahid method will give us these triple product L functions. And D equals 3, so that's the GL3, GL2, GL3. So that you apply, so in Shahid's notation is E6-1. So in our case, G is E6, exceptional group of type E6, and M. In this case, it will be SL3, SL2, SL3. So we have this the subjection there. So we again put back. And D equals 4. You say you apply E7, 1. So in this case, G is E7. Okay, so let me draw the graph here. So you get okay, so this is our situation. So you delete this root. That's the Levy. And here you delete this root. And here you delete this root. And the MD is, again, SL4, SL2, SL3. And D equals 5, then we, you know what to do. It's E8. We use, so if D equals 5, you use E8, 1. So this is so we delete this one, you get GL3, GL2, and GL5. This is Scheide's notation about the first case, second case, like that. D5 2, because this is the, so D5 1 will be something like without. So this, he, that's the way he labeled this thing. Yeah, yeah. So it's just purely just the labeling purpose. And so this case is the most complicated. Here you get the six L functions in the constant term of Eisenstein system. So length is the biggest, longest. So okay, so we have to, so we need to verify. So as Jim explained this morning, we need to verify the following identity. S pi 1 v, okay, so sigma pi 1 v, pi 2 v is equal to and the gamma, same thing. Okay. So we need to verify this in order to apply the converse theorem. Okay. So this morning, Jim used stability of gamma factors to prove this. But in our case, we don't need that. We don't need that. Okay. Because the reason is, so this is the one which saves us here. Unramified. Okay, so if, so we take S to be, S is the finite set of place, finite set of finite places, such that pi 1 v, pi 2 v are unramified for v not in S, V is finite. Okay? So, if V is not in S, then one of them is unramified. So, by multiplicativity of gamma factors, you can write this as a just product of Rankine-Seidelberg. If it is unramified, so then you can Easy, yeah. Yes, that's right. Both unverified. Both unverified. Is that still infinite? Outside finite
man. I know, but it looks like your argument you were using that one of them is
unverified. Oh, no. Because I don't want supercluster in one place. I don't want that. It's okay, but as long as one is unramified, that's okay. So this is easy, okay? No, sigma v may not be sigma can be supercuspid at this place. And if v is s, and our converse theorem says that sigma v is unramified. Yeah, it's a multiplicativity. Multiplicativity. And sigma v is unramified. So you can write this sigma v as induced from principal series. Okay. So then again, you apply multiplicativity, these both sides are just the product of Rankine-Seidelberg. And in those cases, Scheide showed that, so multiplicativity shows that both sides are product of Rankine-Stahlberg. Rankine-Stahlberg L and Rankine-Stahlberg gamma factors. And in those cases, Scheide showed that his definition of alpha, L and epsilon is same as the Jacques Pierre Schleicher's definition. So in this case, Scheide has shown that so his definition of L and epsilon factors agree with those of Rankine-Stahlberg. By Jacques and P.S. and Schleicher. And this is not obvious because as you can see in Jim Cocker's lecture notes, definition of a right-hand side, this was defined by, for example, L factors were defined by GCD, greatest common divisor of all these ideals of some ring. And the left-hand side was defined by the normalizing factor of intertwining operator. So these are defined by different methods, and the equality is not that obvious. Okay, so we apply machinery, then we can, so we apply converse theorem, so then we get pi 1, so applying converse theorem. To pi 1, pi 2, and s, so we obtain that there exists an automorphic representation pi of GL6 such that pi v is equivalent to pi 1v, pi 2v for all v not in S. I implicitly use that. Okay. So, you know, to get rid of pole, so we don't need the local purpose, but the global purpose we need that. So, let's twist by eta. Yeah. Eta. Okay, so Jim talked about this morning. So you know, to get rid of poles, we have to twist by highly ramified characters. And so if you apply this technique, so I already explained here. If you use this technique, then pi is of the form. So then pi is of the form. So pi is just the induced, the unitary, basically pi is unitarily induced from cuspidal representations. So sigma 1, sigma k, cuspidal representations of GL and I. Okay, so we are now prove that this is true everywhere. This is true everywhere. So we only know that this is true for outside finite set. So we want to prove. We want to prove pi v is equivalent to pi 1, pi 2 v for all v. And it turns out to be a very difficult question. It's difficult. Difficult. So the most difficult case is, the most difficult case is pi 1 v is extraordinary supercuspid representation of GL 2 f v. So in other words, v has to be a prime 2, and pi 2 v is supercuspid representation attached to a character of non-normal cubic extension. I covered it, but I hope. Actually, it's not. It's okay. So let me explain how it's done, except this case. So this case, we could not do it. So this case is due to Bushnell and Henyard. So it's Bushnell Henyard. Henyard showed this case. So that's the appendix to our paper. So we could not show that that is true for that particular case. So let me explain outside this case how we can show that that's equal. So we have to use the base change.
Does this case mean both of those things happening?
Yes, both. No, both. Yeah. I mean, that's the. So. Okay. So let me explain briefly. So let me just explain just one case. Okay, so let me just explain just one case. So let me explain one case, namely pi v divides 2, and pi 1 v is extraordinary supercuspidal representation of GL2 FV, and pi 2 V is supercuspidal representation of GL3 FV attached to a character of. Now, this case, Galois extension. So, a character of cyclic cubic extension of FD. Okay? So, if it is non-normal, it's non-normal. That's the reason we could not do that is because we don't have a base change result for non-normal cubic extension at GL4. We need, so in order to do that, GL2 and GL3. We have GL2 and GL3. So we need this. We need a base change. Base change result for GL4 over for and the non-normal cubic extension. Okay, but this is a cyclic extension. We have a base change result, so we can apply that. So let me explain how it's done. So Okay, so that means that pi to v corresponds to pi to v corresponds to this induced representations. So w k wf v and mu. So we have a k f v, and this is a cyclic cubic extension. And we have a character upstairs, and then we induce to downstairs. Then you get, if it is irreducible, then that gives a supercluster representation of GL3. Okay, so now we can embed. So this is a basically local global principle. We can embed pi 1 v and sigma v. Sigma v. Okay. Okay. So in order to prove this, let me just mention. So by local converse theorem, in order to show that, so we have to show that this thing, we have to show this thing, pi v and sigma v, pi v, psi v, pi v, psi v. So we need to show this identity, okay? In order to show this identity, we only have to prove this for sigma v supercluster representation. What, you have a question?
You just wrote the same thing on
the website. Oh, okay. Okay, so we need to show that, we need to show this identity for supercluster representation up to GL4. Then by local converse theorem, then this one and this one are equivalent. So that's the strategy. So that this supercluster, then you can embed into global cluster representations. So you can embed as a local components. Local components of a cluster representations. Let me denote by pi 1 and sigma with the unramified local components everywhere else. Okay, so you can certainly embed supercluster representation into global cluster representation, and everywhere unramified except this place. Okay, so you can certainly do that. That's the old result, I think. So now we used base change technique. So we have F here, and we have F three, and we have cubic extension. And now you can embed this cubic extension into global cubic extension. Okay, so you can embed. So we can choose. So we choose a cubic extension E F such that E W is K, a W divides V. So we embed this into, we choose some global field at whose local field is K. And then also we can embed this character. So also we choose a Grothendieck character, character we denote by eta of E, such that eta W is mu. Again, we can, Grunwald Wang theorem says we can choose a Grothendieck character whose local component is mu. Okay? And so, and let pi 2, so we have this, so let pi 2 be the representation, be the cuspid representation corresponding to this corresponding to this induced representation. This is a global three-dimensional representation of A group. Then you have cuspid representation corresponding to that. That's the whose result is it? The old result of Hecke and things like that. The monomial representation. Yeah, Krubing now. Okay, and then now we use the base change. Okay, so let pi 1 e sigma e be the base change, be the cubic base change. Okay, so basically we want to show that, so we compare the functional equations of S pi 1, pi 2, sigma, and S pi 1, e, eta, sigma, e. Okay. And this, we can show that these are equal almost everywhere. We can show that it's equal almost everywhere by by adjoint property. So this is equal adjoint property of base change. I think Ramamurthy probably mentioned briefly. Okay. This is equal almost everywhere, and both satisfies functional equation. Okay. So then we get. Remember, it's unramified everywhere except that place. Okay, so it's equal everywhere. So then, this gives the equality of gamma factors. So we get equality of we get equality of this gamma factors, except certain lambda functions. So there's certain the lambda function Langlands. But also, okay, so there are some factors shows up because of the base change result. Okay, so. Because V is inert, so there is only one. Okay, so V is inert. Because we are embedding the cubic extension to cubic gamma. Okay, so. Okay, so this is a Rankine-Cybok factor. So then this one is equal to the this right side, right? And then this is equal, and then this one is equal to that. So this is the left side. Because this is an Artin-L function, this is Artin gamma factor, and so that's the correct factor. So then that will prove that this is equal. Both are equal. once you prove that gamma factors are equal, the L factors, equality of L factor follows easily, because the L factors is just the numerator of this gamma factor. So, you have a question? What? Oh, it disappears eventually when you go back. So you prove that this is equal to gamma to the S without base change. By adjoint property, this will be sigma V lambda V V psi V. This is follows from the, this is just Rankine-Seibert L function. And so this is equal, so this is equal to that one. Yeah. Because we cannot prove this, We cannot prove that equality directly. How are you going to prove? Yes. This is the local base change. This is the local base change. Oh, this is the local base change result, this one, okay? But we are not sure that this is equal to this triple product gamma factor. And there is no way of getting this triple product gamma factor. So anyway, if it is non-normal, now your trouble is we have to get base change for this. So this is not defined here. This is the base change for GL4 form. Okay? So that's why we could not do that. Okay, any other questions? Okay, so, but in a special case, but in the special case, of pi adjoint pi, okay, for the functoriality. But for the functoriality of sim cube, we don't need the appendix by Bushnell-Hanyo. So let me explain how we can get rid of the appendix. So basically, we use the global Langlands correspondence. Due to Langlands and Turner. Okay, so I'll briefly explain this. So basically we are, as I explained, for symmetric cube, we are using the automorphy of this form, GL6 form. Okay? And for this, we can prove that this is automorphic. So if you prove that this is automorphic, so here, we didn't show that this tensor product is automorphic. We show that that's a quasi-automorphic. But we can show that this is automorphic everywhere. Okay, so this we can use this using local global argument. So we can show that this is automorphic. So that will imply that sin cube is automorphic. And not just, so in there, so not just quasi automorphic. It's a correct factor everywhere. Okay? So how do you show that? How do you show that? We use the local global argument. So local global argument. Okay, so what we have, so we apply the converse theorem, then this is quasi automorphic. So they exist. So converse theorem gives they exist an automorphic representation pi such that pi v is equivalent to pi v adjoint pi v for v not in S. Okay? So that's the converse theorem gives. And this decomposes a pi and isobaric sum of pi and something tau. So this is the automorphic representation of GL4. Okay, how do you know that this thing decomposed? So you know to see why this pi shows up in one of the components. So it's a well-known trick. You just compute the L function. Compute the L function at 1. So we compute. So look at L S pi tilde times big pi. Okay. If this has a pole, so that means that pi shows up here. And so this thing is, by our equality, this is the triple product error function. So pi and adjoint pi. Okay, I mean, since we don't know local factors, we can take partial error functions. And now this is by the Ramakrishnan's result, so pi tensor product, we know that this is, so this pi tensor product with pi itself and adjoint pi. And this thing decomposes adjoint pi and 1. That's right, exactly. Yeah. So this is the Ramakrishnan's result. So this is the tensor product of GL2 cross GL2. So this automorphic representation GL4. And it's decomposed as an adjoint representation plus the trivial character. Okay. So then this thing becomes S adjoint pi, tensor adjoint pi, and adjoint pi. And now we know that this has a pole at S equals 1. This one has pole S equals 1, and this has non-zero. So then this whole thing has a pole, and this has a pole at S equals 1, means that pi should appear as a component. So it decomposes pi plus something. So we have some tau here. Okay? And because of this property, tau v is equivalent, tau v is basically symmetric cube for v not in S. Okay. Because of this, and this decompose, so tau v is equivalent to this everywhere, almost everywhere except S. So we have to show that this is equivalent for finitely many places. So what we need, so we need to show we need to show that tau v is equivalent to sin cube pi v omega pi v inverse for v in S. Okay? And if we not divide 2, it's easy. Okay? I mean, we have to do some work. If V doesn't divide 2, then pi V is induced. It's a monomial. Even if it's supercuspid, outside prime 2 is induced. Okay? So you can just apply the base change for just GL2. So it's easy. So the most difficult case is V divides 2 and pi V is an extraordinary supercuspid representation. Okay, so as I explained, extraordinary supercuspid representations are two types. One is the tetrahedral type. The other one is octahedral type. Okay, so we have to verify that. So, okay, I think all the essence of arguments contained in here. So I'll probably explain. Okay, so I will use the following setup. So we get the local global argument. So let's look at the K is a periodic local field. And the eta 1 and eta 2 are supercuspidal representations of GL2K. With the corresponding parameterization P1, P2. So this is WK to GL2C. And I think I explained to you that we can think of P1 and P2 as representations of a Galois representation. Okay, so just very close to Galois representation. Okay, so now what you need is By local converse theorem, we need to show the following: eta 1, eta 2, adjoint eta 2, psi is equal to we need to show this equality of these two gamma factors. So this is the gamma factor defined by Shahidi. Okay. And this is the Artin gamma factor. Okay, if you once you show equality of gamma factor, then equality of L factors are just follow easily. So we have to show this equality. So how do you show that? Basically, we show we embed this into global situation. Okay, so we embed. So by we can find the number field. F with F with K and irreducible two-dimensional Galois representation. Sigma I of Galois F bar F with a solvable image such that sigma I U is pi I and sigma V, FV, and I U is unramified. A U divides 2 and U different from V. Okay, so this is the result of Prasad and Ramakrishnan. So anyway, I gave an exact reference. So anyway, the point is that you can embed this Galois representation into global Galois representation. And as I said, this has a solvable image. So the global Galois representation also have a solvable image. Either it's a tetrahedral type or octahedral type. And it's unramified everywhere else. So if you believe that, then now we use Langlands tunnel theorem. So that's Ramamurthy talked about last week. So Langlands tunnel theorem. Langlands tunnel theorem says that there is a cuspidal representation corresponding to this. There is a cuspidal representation, pi I of GL2A corresponding to such that pi I V is eta I. So pi I corresponds to sigma I okay, so eta because sigma I V is eta I. Okay. And because of the solvable image you can find the cusper representations. Now we use a trick, as I did, compare the functional equation. Equations of LS pi 1, pi 2, L 1, pi 2, and LS sigma 1, sigma 2, L 1, pi sigma 2. And we don't know Artin conjecture, so we don't know that this is entire, okay? But that's okay. But we do know a functional equation. So we don't have to know this is entire. Actually, we don't know that. So if you compare that, this is equal almost everywhere. Again, it's unramified. We use the fact that it's unramified. So then this gives the equality of this. It's because if you look at a functional equation, if it's same everywhere, almost everywhere, then it gives basically equality of this. So we get equality of gamma. Okay, this is the usual trick we use to prove this kind of things. Okay, so remaining 15 minutes, I will briefly explain how symmetric fourth are proved. So again, the symmetric fourth, we don't apply the converse theorem directly here. Okay? So we apply converse theorem to x sphere square. So it's kind of confusing. Okay, this pi and this pi are different. Okay, let me erase. So pi is now cosplay representation of GL4. Now x sphere square is the map GL4 to GL6. Okay. So if you apply the converse theorem, so we need the following L functions. We need these L functions, sigma pi rho m tensor with the x sphere square. So and rho m is standard L function. Now we need 1, 2, 3, 4. We need these L functions. And this L function is available in the Langlands-Shahidi method. Actually, Asghari talked about this briefly. So this comes from, so if you get rid of these roots, this is roughly GL4. So you put pi here, and you put sigma. So this will be GL4, and this will be GL1, GL2, GL3, GL4. You put, so this is the, in Chidi's paper, this is DN-3 case. Okay. So in order to apply converse theorem, again, we use basically the same method. But now here, we have trouble. We have to prove. So we need, so remember that we had to prove the equality of L and epsilon. So we need, we have to prove that the equality of these local factors, so rho m, and also gamma. Okay, anyway, once you prove that this is automorphic, so suppose this is automorphic, then the symmetric fourth follows immediately. Okay, so then we look at x sphere square of symmetric cube. And let's say, let's twist by a central character, you know, to make it simpler. So if you look at the x sphere square of symmetric cube, and we know that this is an automorphic representation of GL6. So it decomposes. And it decomposes in the following way. You have the central character is one of the components. And there is an automorphic representation of GL5 sitting inside here. And this turned out to be symmetric fourth, a twist by a central character. So there will prove that this is automorphic. Okay. So this, again, indirect way. All right. Okay, the problem, we need this equality, but unfortunately, we don't have that. We don't have that. So remember that we have to prove the most difficult case is when V is S. Okay. If when V is S, sigma V is unramified. So by multiplicativity, we have to show, so I'm continuing from here. So we need the following equality. So we just take, we have to show that when sigma v is a character. So this is character, so pi v character is equal to pi v twist by cat and gamma. And I don't know how to prove this. Okay? So this is difficult. So this, I don't know. We don't know how to prove this. When pi v is a supercluster representation, GL4 FV. And we need that, but we don't know how to prove that. Okay? So there are three ways to get around it. So there are three ways. Okay, so the first way is to use the stability of gamma. So that's what Jim talked about this morning. We can probably use stability, and unfortunately this is again unknown. So it's not proved. I mean, I hope to work on it, but it's not proved yet. Okay? And the second way is, this one I used, so this is called a descent argument. It's due to Ramakrishnan. Okay, so basically this, the idea is that if you have a successive base change, solvable base change, then this becomes principal series. So when you start with a pi v here, and you have a base change, e1, e2, e3, so we have a successive cyclic base change. And when you go up here, pi, then this pi becomes a principal series. Okay? So the idea is you have a successive base change, and then do everything. So we know that we can define the, so we know this equality up here. Okay? And so basically you have a simultaneous base change, basically infinitely many base change. And then you define the extra square in the upstairs. And then you have to simultaneously descend to F. So that's not trivial. So infinitely many, you are talking about infinitely many base change, and then simultaneously descend. What? Yeah, this works. So it's a simultaneous descent of infinitely many cusp forms. Okay, so if you are interested in this, you can look at his original paper or the appendix to my paper. And the third method is again local global principle. It's global method. In the special case. So, for example, if pi v is supercuspidal, but this is a symmetric cube, for example, symmetric cube, let's say pi v. if 5 is very special case, I mean, we cannot do that for arbitrary stochastic representations. But if we happen to be, for example, symmetric cube, that's what we need here, you know, to get the functorial symmetric form, then we can apply global method exactly in the same way. So I'm done, actually. All right. I have 5 minutes. Okay, I can take it easy, but I can finish in 5 minutes. I want one more page. Okay, I'm not going to rush. Okay, so let's take time. Okay, so global method is, okay, so pi v is, let's say pi v is a symmetric cube, okay? Symmetric cube. That's a tau v. So tau v is given by this parametrization, pi, okay? So what we need? We need to prove, that the gamma factors match. So tau v chi this gamma factors match. So the left hand side is the, again defined by Shahidi, and the right hand side is the Artin gamma factor. Okay? And we have to prove this equality, and the chi is the character. Okay? You can think of this by class field theory, you can think of chi as a character of a wave group. And so we apply exactly the same method there. So you embed pi as a global Galois representation, and then we use Langlands tunnel theorem again. Okay. So there are three ways to get around that, but so only three, this works only for special case. All right. Okay, so now we are done. So we can apply converse theorem. So we obtain an automorphic representation, big pi, such that pi v is equivalent to x square for v not in S. And now pi v is a subquotient again by the same So again, subquotient of this global induced representation. Now we need to show that, again, these are zero. Okay, so I will just finish with how to get this zero, and then I'll finish that. And if we know that pi satisfy weak Ramanujan, and this is again easy. Okay? So that's the case when pi v is a symmetric cube. Pi is a symmetric cube, then tau satisfy weak Ramanujan, so pi will satisfy weak Ramanujan. So that will give zero. Okay? So that in that case is easy. But if in general case, we don't know the weak Ramanujan property for pi, okay? So, so we have to do some work, and so this involves comparison of Satake parameters of pi and sigmas. And basically, we reduce to all these are dimension one. So this is cusp form on Ni. So basically, reduce to the case Ni equals O1 for all I. So if you compare Satake parameters, basically you can reduce that Ni is all one. And use the fact that the partial L function is holomorphic for real S bigger than one. So this is due to Jacquet and Schleicher. Jacquet and Schleicher show that this partial extra square L function is holomorphic for real S bigger than one. Okay? So if one of them is not zero, okay, one of them is not zero, then one of them has to be positive. One of them is positive. Because the central character is unitary. So central character of pi is central character of square. Central character of pi squared, so it's unitary. So that means that R1 plus RK is zero. So if one of them is not zero, one of them is positive. Okay. So if these are all characters, so you apply this theorem, then you get contradiction. You get contradiction. If one of them is positive, you get contradiction. This will prove that all of them has to be zero. Okay, so I'll finish here. Any other questions? Any questions? You don't believe me? Okay, so I'll show you. Okay, let's see. Suppose R1 is positive, okay? So let's say R1 is positive. Okay, so then sigma 1 inverse. So in this case, sigma is all characters, okay? So let's look at the inverse. So then this is, this will be product of S minus R1. Okay, we need a negative. We need a negative, okay? So it will be sigma plus R1, sigma 1, it's a 1, L S plus R2, sigma 2, sigma 1 inverse. So this F, so this is equal to R1, we are assuming the R1 is negative. So this is LS pi extra square of sigma 1 inverse. And of course, we are doing all partial L functions here. Okay, so this is equal to that. And so by our theorem here, this is holomorphic for real S bigger than 1. But this one has a pole. This has a pole. For that S equals minus R1. 1 minus R1. And this is greater than 1. So you get contradiction.